For many of us, 2020's been a year to forget, but I don't think we're going to do that easily, are we? In truth, I'm quite confident we're going to remember 2020 for a long time. Now, I don't know when you're listening to this podcast, but it's almost certainly the right time for me to wish you a Happy New Year. And I also wish you, my listeners, a healthy, happy and prosperous 2021, a much better year ahead. Now, 2020 brought lots of its challenges to us, but overall, it's actually been a great year for me and a great year for my family and for my team at Metropole. Boy, was it a good year for this podcast, which has had almost 1.8 million downloads. And this year alone, 2.5 million unique readers came to my daily property update blog. That's 2.5 million different people, a huge percentage of the Australian adult population, came to my blog to learn about property investment, success, finance, money. So I look forward to continuing bringing you this type of education in 2021. But today I'd like to say thank you for being part of my community, and I'd like to share with you 20 lessons I learned in 2020. So welcome to today's episode of the Michael Yardney Podcast.
Welcome to the Michael Yardney Podcast, where twice each week you will learn a number of new ideas regarding success, property investment, and money in around 30 minutes. Our show is brought to you by Metropole, who specialize in helping you grow, protect, and pass on your wealth through strategic property and wealth advice. Now, here's your host, Michael Yardney, Australia's authority in wealth creation through property, who has been voted one of Australia's top 50 most influential thought leaders.
Each year brings its own set of wins, challenges, and lessons to learn. And 2020 was certainly no exception. It was an extraordinary year. So today I'd like to share 20 2020 lessons. Now, nobody could have foreseen all that happened, including the coronavirus, its economic fallout, and the way our lives changed. But as we head into 2021, I can't help but reflect on what Australia as a country has accomplished, what I've achieved personally, what I've overcome, and the lessons I want to carry with me into the new year. So here are my top 20 2020 lessons. The first lesson I'd like to share with you is expect the unexpected. Every year, there's an unexpected X factor. You've heard me talk about this before. Something that comes out of the blue to undo the best laid plans. Some are on the upside, like the miracle election result in the middle of 2019, you know, it suddenly made the property market pick up considerably. But some of these are on the downside, like COVID-19 in 2020. The fact is, strategic investors try and protect themselves from these surprises by owning the best assets they can, by having financial buffers in place to ride the ups and downs of the property cycle, by setting up the right ownership structures, by insuring themselves, and by obtaining holistic advice from their consultants. But the biggest risk is what no one sees coming. Because if you saw it coming, and you'd be prepared for it, but no one was prepared for these X factors. While an X factor seems to come every year, there's another thing you've got to remember. A major black swan event, as some call it, one that breaks the world, tends to come every decade. And that's what happened in 2020, didn't it? The second lesson I'd like to share with you for 2020 was focus on the long term. In 2020, the performance of our share market and our property markets, as well as the numerous pessimistic property predictions by the so-called experts, reminded us that we shouldn't make 30-year investment decisions based on the last 30 minutes of news. Strategic investors have got a long-term focus, and they don't change their plans on what's happening now. In fact, they don't buy investments on what's working now. They invest in the type of assets that have always worked. In other words, they don't chase the next shiny toy or the next hotspot. Now, clearly, this was the thinking behind Warren Buffett's quote, "Be fearful when others are greedy and be greedy when others are fearful." But while it's easy to say that, it's not easy to do that. When the value of your share portfolio or your superannuation suddenly tanks as happened in March 2020, or when you're worried about the value of your home or your investment properties when all those pessimistic forecasts came out. The third lesson I'd like to share with you is it's the media's job to entertain you, not to educate you. Remember, the media is trying to get eyeballs on its advertisers' content rather than trying to educate you. And I guess that's part of the reason they have a lot of those sensational headlines and the negative news. However, when the pandemic first hit, many of us watched the 6 o'clock news and then the 7 o'clock news to see if there was something different, and then the 7:30 report to get another angle on what was going on, what was going to happen with our health, with our economy and our property markets. And at the same time, my inbox kept dinging with the alarmist messages that were uninformed and unbalanced. Think about it. How many of those expert opinions forecasts came true? And how many people worried and stressed about potential outcomes that didn't occur? Yet, unfortunately, being overwhelmed with this information led many people to live in a state of fear, a state of anxiety, and it actually caused some to make unfortunate investment errors. The fourth 2020 lesson I'd like to share with you is take economic forecasts with a grain of salt. Remember all those forecasts about unemployment reaching 10%, 12%, even more? And what about those forecasts of property values dropping 20%, 30%? And some people, not just the negative Nelly, some of the so-called experts said they could drop even more than 30%. Now, they didn't come to fruition, did they? Similarly, if you're reading some frightening things in the business section or hearing it on TV or learning from your neighbour, it's almost too late to take action anyway, because the information is probably already reflected in the market, whether it's the share price or the property price. So my fourth lesson is take economic forecasts with a grain of salt. The fifth lesson is don't believe the doomsayers, because there's always going to be somebody out there telling you not to invest in property in particular. And in 2020, the doomsayers, they found their moment, didn't they? The property pessimists and the negative Nellies were out in force, as were the so-called experts looking for a headline. They were telling anyone who'd listened to them that real estate Armageddon was ahead of us. Now, there's nothing new about these doomsayers. They've been peddling the same forecasts for a couple of decades, haven't they? There's always going to be somebody wanting to stall the aspirations of their fellow Australians, people who are looking to take their financial future in their own hands, to do something about it. So don't let them stop you achieving your financial dreams. The doomsayers are always wrong, or at least in the long term. The sixth lesson I'd like to share with you is no one really knows what's going to happen to the property market. So be careful whose forecasts you listen to. You may have heard me say before there are 25 million property experts in Australia. You know, everyone's got an opinion about property, but you know what they say about opinions. They're like belly buttons, everyone's got one, but they're basically useless. So be careful who you listen to. Of course, last year, most of the economists got their predictions wrong. Not just the experts sitting in front of TV, but the economists from the big banks. So as a real estate investor, while it's important to have mentors, make sure you're listening to somebody who's not only built their own substantial property portfolio, but somebody who's kept their wealth through a number of cycles. Currently, there are just too many enthusiastic amateurs out there offering investment advice. The seventh lesson I'd like to share with you is there's no such thing as an Australian property market. Now, I've discussed this in previous podcasts, but it's so important I thought I had to remind you that there are multiple markets in Australia. Each state's at its own particular stage within its own cycle, and within each state there are multiple sub-markets depending upon price point, geography and type of property. This means despite all Australians enjoying the same level of, well, low interest rates at the moment, the same tax system, the same government, some property markets outperformed others significantly in 2020. But there's nothing new about this. Local factors have always driven property market performance. So avoid paying attention to commentary that gives broad generalisations about the Australian property market or even the Melbourne or Sydney or Brisbane property markets. The eighth lesson I'd like to share with you, a lesson of those 20 lessons from 2020, was don't try and time the markets. You see, even though they're armed with all the research available in today's information age, as I've just explained, economists never seem to agree where property markets are heading, and they usually get their forecasts wrong. That's because markets aren't an exact science. It's much more than just the fundamentals, which are relatively easy to quantify. Other things move the market. In particular, though, the thing that experts find hard to quantify is investor sentiment, consumer sentiment. So my advice is rather than trying to time your investment purchases or sales, if you buy the right investment-grade assets, time in the market, how long you hold your investments, is much more important than timing the market. which you can't get right. I mean, if you think about it, the top and the bottom of the market are really only 1 or 2 days or 1 or 2 weeks or months in the cycle. As we work through the 20 lessons for 2020, I'd like to remind you that the crowd is usually wrong. Crowd psychology influences people's investment decision, but often to their detriment. I've found that investors tend to be most optimistic near the peak of the cycle at a time when they probably should be the most cautious. And they're the most pessimistic when all the doom and gloom's in the media near the bottom of the cycle, when there's actually very little downside left for them. But market sentiment is one of the key drivers in the property cycle and one of the reasons why our markets overreact, overshoot. They overshoot in booms and they get a bit too down in slumps as well. But remember, property owners, home buyers, owner-occupiers drive the market. They raise the market, but it's investors who create the booms and the busts. And that's why I like investing in areas that are dominated by owner-occupiers, not investors. If you look back at what happened to the property segments in 2020 that were dominated by investors, like the inner city apartments, boy, they suffered most. So remember, each property boom sets us up for the next downturn, just as each downturn sets us up for the next upswing of the cycle. The great news is, though, that we are now at the beginning of the next wave of the property cycle when there are some great opportunities. The 10th lesson I'd like to share with you is that property investment's a game of finance. I've mentioned that to you before on this podcast, but I want to remind you that the rules of the game of finance have changed significantly, making it increasingly difficult to get finance, even for those people with strong serviceability and significant equity. But moving forward, this is likely to change around March 2021 with the loosening of banks' lending criteria. So what this does highlight, though, is the significant opportunity cost in having underperforming assets. If your finance capabilities are limited, if you've got a borrowing ceiling, as we all have, if you can only afford to own, I don't know, 2 or 3 properties, make sure that they're all investment-grade properties and that they're working hard for you. So as we're halfway through the list of the 2020 lessons, lesson number 10 was property investments a game of finance with some houses thrown in the middle, so you need a proper finance strategy. My 11th lesson is invest for capital growth. Capital growth should be the key driver for your investment decisions rather than cash flow. Sure, cash flow is important. It keeps you in the game. But capital growth is what's going to get you out of the rat race. At Metropole, our 40-year analysis of investment returns shows the property with higher rental yields generally deliver lower overall returns for investors. Our analysis proves that over the medium to long term, properties with lower returns, lower rental returns, lower yields, deliver significantly higher overall returns. In other words, when you add the capital growth and the rental return together, they deliver higher returns, those properties with high growth but lower rental yields, compared to cash flow type properties with higher rental returns. Overall, when you add capital growth and rental returns, they delivered lower overall growth. What this means is those who invest in the more affordable suburbs that deliver higher cash flow, they give up capital growth. They hope to get more cash flow to live on. The trouble is they never get to the next property because rents don't go up in those areas because in general, tenants are living there because they can't afford to buy compared to the lifestyle inner city suburbs where people are renting more for lifestyle. So reminding you, lesson number 11 is invest for capital growth, because when you eventually retire, most of your assets are not going to be the rent you earned because you had to pay tax on it, the income you earned because you had to pay tax on it. It's actually going to be the tax-free capital growth of your assets. Well, that's if you own the right sort of assets. The 12th lesson is there's always going to be a reason not to invest. Every year brings its own set of crises and lots of reasons not to invest. You can go back as far in history as you like. There won't be a crisis for a year. I've been investing 50 years in 2021, and I know some years have been worse than others, but there's always been bad news and much of it unexpected. Where investors get into trouble is rather than focusing on the long-term goals, they see each of these crises as a once-in-a-generation event when, in fact, they're really just the normal path of history. The 13th lesson I'd like to share with you is that property investment is risky in the short term, but it's secure in the long term. Now, 2020 reminded many property investors that real estate isn't a way of getting rich quickly. But those who stayed in the game benefit from the power of compounding. And that takes time, but that's the way to grow wealth, by staying in the game, owning good assets, and having the power of compounding. Because not only does the value of your property go up, but so does the rental return. I buy properties to allow me to buy more properties, and I can do that by borrowing against the increasing equity of my existing portfolio and using the cash flow of my portfolio to allow me to service my debts. I found it takes the average property investor around 30 years to become financially independent. You've got to invest through a number of cycles. You've got to make those early mistakes and then correct them and move on. But most investors don't make it there because they can't stay the distance, in part because they haven't got good cash flow management. You see, I found a lot of people get into property investment because they want to improve their cash flow. But if they don't have good money habits to start with, taking on the extra debt of property often compounds those problems. So that's why I'm suggesting in the short term, property investment is risky, but boy, is it a strong, secure asset class in the long term. The 14th lesson I'd like to share with you is plan for the worst, but look forward to the best. As a property investor, I protected myself from the challenges of 2020 by doing a number of things. First of all, I owned the right assets. I owned investment-grade properties in desirable locations, and they're the ones that held their values well. I have multiple income streams from a diversified portfolio of residential, commercial, and industrial properties, as well as shares. I own my assets in the correct ownership structures that protect my interests and that were tax effective. I'd set up financial cash flow buffers to see me through the difficult times. I knew the difficult times were coming. I didn't know what was going to cause them, but I had the cash flow buffers because I learned that difficult lesson in the recession of the 1990s when I didn't go broke, but a number of my friends went bankrupt, and I could have if I didn't have the cash flow at the time. And I also got myself through 2020 by protecting myself and my assets with adequate insurance policies. Now, fortunately, I didn't have to rely on these protections. And by the way, I put them in place long before 2020 started, before the downturn challenged me, but I had them in place and that helped me sleep better. Now, I'm working our way through 2020 lessons, and lesson number 16 is cautious optimism is better for your investment health than being a pessimist. The problem is life is not fair, but get used to it. Having an optimistic outlook will make you more successful. Optimists are more successful in all areas of life than pessimists, or so-called realists. I've actually found that realists are just pessimists in disguise. And this particularly relates to investing. Now, it doesn't mean that you've always got to be happy and smiling all day. No, that's not the case at all. But it does mean that you're going to have the ability to look at a situation, and while it might be tough, you're able to see around the corner and see the possibilities rather than the difficulties. I've found those who've got a high expectation usually rise up to meet them. We're working our way through 20 lessons, and number 17 is time is a limited resource. Don't waste it. You see, we've all got 1,440 minutes every day, but some of us squander it, waste it, or don't use it efficiently. 2020 reminded me how truly valuable time is. Look, you can lose money and you get it back. If you're sick, hopefully often you get your health back. But once time's gone, it's gone. It's irretrievable. So start to capitalize on time, on the time you've got, and get a whole lot more done. But the problem is many people confuse moving with progress. Just because you're doing a lot doesn't mean you're actually getting a lot done. I found many people just seem to be running in the same place. Interestingly, working from home for me in 2020 has made me much more efficient. I get a lot more done in those 1,440 minutes that I've got every day, same as you. Another way of looking at time that was brought home to me in 2020 was that life is short. On some level, most of us knew that life is short, but 2020 taught us and solidified the fact that we don't get a second chance. And it also reminded us of the importance of truly appreciating what and who we have in our lives, and how to live our lives at the fullest. Well, we're getting close to the end of my 20 lessons. Thank you for staying with me, and I hope you're finding them useful, because I actually got a lot of pleasure writing them down, thinking it through, and seeing how I'm going to make 2021 a great year for me. And one of the lessons that I was reminded about was that only certainty is change. We all face changes every day, whether it's as simple as a change in the weather or something as significant as another wave of coronavirus. Changes are a normal part of life. The problem is most of us don't like change. We like certainty. However, learning to expect change has brought me hope during challenging and unexpected life events. I've come to realize that it's not the circumstances or the changes that dictate how my life will go, but rather how I handle those changes, how I handle those disruptions. Rather than worrying about all the changes occurring, I've learned the concept. I learned it from Chris Helder, who's a great motivational speaker in Melbourne. Oh, I think he's moved to Queensland during the pandemic. I don't know where he is now, but Chris Helder taught me the concept of having a useful belief. If something goes wrong, rather than worrying about it and spending too much time being upset by it, find a useful belief, something good that comes out of it. So I've found a useful belief about changes that are happening around me and seeing what good is going to come from them. That makes me feel more in control of my life. And the more comfortable I feel, the better I perform in my life occurs if I feel I'm in control of my life. The second last lesson I'd like to share with you is worry better. Fact is, most things you worry about, most things you fear are never going to happen. They're just monsters in your mind. And 2020 showed us that so well, didn't it? And if things do happen, they're most likely not going to be anywhere near as bad as you expected. But forget the saying, don't worry, be happy. Instead, worry the right way. It's better than not worrying at all. Worry can play an important role in your life, but it doesn't have to be destructive. Look, we're all wired to worry. That's because worry had an evolutionary benefit. It drew our attention to the fact that there were some things out there that we should be doing, while there are other things out there that should be avoided. Those who worried correctly evolved, survived. And that's what evolution was about. But today, time spent worrying is time that could spend identifying opportunities or taking action. Worrying about the right things can motivate you. But if you find it unproductive, try and take your mind off things by getting engaged in other activities. I've learned the trick of limiting the amount of time I worry about. In fact, I heard that recently in a podcast I did with Alan Peace. You may have heard it, where he talked about body language. And he taught the concept of telling himself to limit his worry to 5 minutes or 10 minutes. That was his worry time. And then it forced him to move on by focusing on other tasks or engaging in other activities. Now, that's a good trick to learn. And the last of my 2020 lessons I like to share with you is this too shall pass. Think about it. How often do we need to hear that the world as we know it's coming to an end before we realize that the world as we know it is not coming to an end? Well, I hope those 2020 lessons I learned and relearned last year are going to be of benefit to you to make 2021 a great year for you. And I hope to be part of your journey at least twice a week through this Michael Yardney podcast. And of course, I'd love to catch up with you in between that on social media too. Thank you for being part of my podcast community in 2020. And now you know some of the lessons I learned or relearned last year. Now, if you got some benefit from this, I'd really appreciate it if you told somebody about it so that they can also learn something about property investment, success, money, finance. There's a share button on all the podcast apps, or just tell somebody about the Michael Yardney podcast. Or I'd love it if you left a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to this. Now, I look forward to bringing you the Michael Yardney podcast regularly in 2021. But in January, we're going to do something a little bit different. Rather than the regular two shows a week, we're going to bring you three shows. One will be a new show to keep you up to date with the latest about property, money, finance, tax. And also, twice a week, we're going to be re-presenting some of the old shows, but that are still up to date. There's gold there. Now, we've got a lot of new listeners every month. I know that in the statistics. And I'm sure you've listened to one or two of the past episodes, but you probably haven't gone right back through the back catalogue. Hey, maybe that's a good opportunity. Listen at 1.5 times speed over the summer period. I sound just as good that way. In fact, that's how I listen to podcasts. But to help you, I've actually selected some of the top shows, which I'm going to be presenting to you. So you'll be getting three shows a week over the month of January. I look forward to being part of your wealth creation journey in 2021. And thank you for being part of my journey.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Michael Yardney Podcast, which was brought to you by Metropole, who help their clients grow, protect, and pass on their wealth through strategic property and wealth advice. If you like what you heard and don't already subscribe, you'll find us on iTunes or on your favorite Android app as the Michael Yardney Podcast. Watch out for our next show, which comes to you twice a week, and you'll learn some new ideas about property investment, success, and money in around 30 minutes. To get more of Michael's thoughts, go across to www.propertyupdate.com.au and sign up for his daily morning briefing, and you'll hear from not only Michael, but a group of leading property success and money experts. And just a reminder that the information you heard in this show today is general educational advice and not specific investment advice, as we don't know your personal circumstances. If you're looking for specific advice, why not ask the team at Metropole to help you?